Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel for the day of Pentecost found in John chapter 14. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is God's word. This morning I'm going to tell you three stories about people who were looking for God. First story is about a young mother with a little girl. That little girl is her pride and joy. So smart, so beautiful. Smile that just warms your heart. She's 2 years old. One day she wasn't acting right. She was running a really high fever. Brings her into the hospital. They figure out finally she's got some sort of infection. And they put her in NICU. And as time goes on, it's getting worse and worse. And they realize this infection, it's attacking her brain. The doctors are at a loss for how to slow it down, how to stop it. 2 weeks in the hospital, little girl passes away. Mom is devastated, naturally, as all of us would be. She wants answers. The doctors, they don't have answers. Not ones that will satisfy her, at least. She begins to look for God to give her answers. God, why would you take my little girl from me? She starts looking for God's answers, not in the pages of her Bible. She's looking for them. The bottom of a bottle of booze. And the bottom of a bottle of pills. And eventually, she decides to meet God face to face at the end of a barrel of a gun. It's one way to look for God. Second story is of a man who lived in a big city, 3 million people. And he's one of those guys, maybe you've met some of those people who grew up Catholic and then they're very disenfranchised by it and they kind of start looking at all other churches. Well, this guy did the same thing. And he was looking for God among the Methodists and the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals and the Episcopalians and every denomination under the sun. He was looking for God. The place where he could walk in and he would feel it. That he would know that God was there. And none of the Christian churches really gave him the right feeling, so he started worshiping with the Buddhists, and he worshiped with the Muslims, and he worshiped with the Mormons. And it really just kind of went for the rest of his life, because in no place did he really feel that God was there. The third story is about a woman, 89 years old. 6 months ago, she lost her husband of 68 years. They had shared their bed together every night for 68 years, woke up, first face they saw each day was one another for all that time. She cooked her husband breakfast every single morning. Same thing every day too. Two eggs over easy, two bacon, two toast. Don't make that toast too dark, right? She knew exactly how he liked it. They went to church together every single Sunday. They were one of those couples, you know, they had their pew where they sat. Everyone knew that was where they sat. But now, after all that time, she's alone. There's no laughter. No one to make a corny joke with. No one to cook breakfast for. The other side of her bed is empty. And she doesn't know how to deal with that. She goes to church, and the spot where her and her partner in life had sat together for so long, now she sits by herself. And the people at the church don't even really know how to talk to her because it's just so bizarre to not see the two of them together. She's looking for God. She wants to see God. She wants to go to heaven because she believes in God. Yeah, she believes in heaven. Really, she just wants to see her husband. because this life alone is not what she's used to. That's three stories of people who are all looking for God and doing it in very, very different ways and doing it for very, very different reasons. Today's Holy Gospel from John 14, and really all these lessons we've been hearing for the last several weeks about the Holy Spirit really has to do with us looking for God and knowing where to find him. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples because, as I've explained a couple of times now, if you've been following our Sunday sermons, this whole section of John's Gospel, starting in chapter 13 all the way through 17, it all takes place on Maundy Thursday before Jesus goes to be arrested and to go to his cross. Okay? So Jesus realizes that his disciples need to be made aware of what's about to happen. That he's about to leave them and they're going to naturally look for him. They're going to look for God. Now, what the disciples understand about who Jesus is right now, we're not really clear. Do they believe he is God in human flesh, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit? Probably not quite yet. Do they believe that he is from God? Sure. Do they believe that he's the Messiah? Probably. They get that God is doing something there with them in Jesus. They know that much. And they're going to be looking for him. They're going to be looking for God once he's gone. So he tells them about the Holy Spirit. And he also tells them about his word. If you want to find God, if you want to find Jesus, the word is where you go. He says to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This poses a problem because this seems to fly in the face of everything we've been told as good Lutheran Christians about faith alone, grace alone, right? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anyone does not love me, he will not keep my word. Boy, that sounds like a problem, right? Because I can think of all times this morning that I have not kept the word of God. I'll let you know a little secret I didn't share at the other two services. I slept past my alarm this morning. I was supposed to get up at 6. I got out of bed at 6:45 with a plan to be here at 7. You want to know the first word out of my mouth when I looked at my clock? It's to say I was not keeping the word of God. It's a little bit of a panic. I still got here 2 minutes after 7. We know that sin runs deep within each and every one of us, you know, pastors included, right? We are all. We say it all the time. We're poor, miserable sinners. We've been conditioned, even today, to say that that's who we are. We're poor, miserable sinners. We deserve death and damnation. We have not kept God's word. Except that that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying that if you love me, you'll be a good person. Or if you love the Father, you'll be a good person. Or if you don't love the Father, then you're not a good person. It's not what he's saying. See, the word keep here doesn't mean exactly what you think. We think of keeping, like keep the commandments. You know, obey. That's not what Jesus is saying here. I want you to think of the word keepsake. What's a keepsake? Something that is precious to you, that you hold on to, something that has sentimental value. Now, what's a keepsake for me might not be a keepsake for you. Okay? I have on my desk a little figurine of Palmolitor. Brewers, you know, 70s and 80s, early 90s. Yeah, he was my favorite baseball player. I bought that figurine when I was like 12, 13 years old. It's sentimental. It's kind of neat to see it sitting there on my desk. Probably wouldn't mean a whole lot for most of you, especially if you're not a Brewers fan. It's a keepsake. It has value. I keep it there in a special place where I can see it, right? Some keepsakes do have more sentiment attached to them. I have pictures hanging on my wall that my kids have made for me. I have a Bible that belonged to my grandfather. I have pictures, photos of my family members. These things are all keepsakes. They're important. They're valuable. I treasure them. That's the sort of keeping that Jesus is talking about with his word. We should treasure it. We should hold on to it. We should regard it as precious and of more value than anything else. Because it's in that word that the Holy Spirit is working. It's in that word, Jesus tells us, where the Spirit brings to remembrance everything that Jesus has said. That Jesus has died for us, risen for us, ascended to come again from heaven for us on the last day. We learn that through the Word of God. We learn that through the work of the Holy Spirit. We hear through that word and encounter through that word a God who loves us. And that's the only place you can find a word, find a God of love, is in the words of Jesus, in Holy Scripture, in the proclamation of God's word. You are not going to find a God of love out in the world. The first woman in our story, she didn't find a God of love in her booze, in her pills, or in taking her own life. The second guy, he didn't find a God of love hanging out with the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Mormons. The third woman didn't find a God of love in her marriage, which now all of a sudden had come to an end. You only find a God of love in the Word. You are not going to find it out in the world. You are not going to find a God of love in a world of riots and hatred and racism and bigotry and division. You're not going to find a God of love in a world of pandemic and economic collapse and fear. You're not going to find a God of love in the answers of science, which can maybe tell you genetic makeup and cell structure, but it can't tell you why the mother lost her child, or why the 89-year-old widow can't go on without her husband. No answers for that. The only place you find the God of love is in the Word. Jesus told us, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus said it himself. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. When you hold to the word of Jesus, the word of his death, the word of his resurrection, the word of eternal life that he has bought for you, you find a Father who loves you. You find a Father who comes to you and makes his home with you. Our first reading, our Old Testament reading today, was a story about people looking for God, wasn't it? Men who decided to build a city and a tower that would reach into the heavens where they could reach God themselves, right? The Tower of Babel, we call it. But God frustrated their efforts. He thwarted and stopped their efforts to try to reach heaven. God will always do that. Because you can't reach God, you can't find God with your good works. If you think God loves you because you're a good person, think again. God loves you because of Jesus. You, me, poor, miserable, wretched sinners, deserving of nothing but hellfire and damnation for all eternity, we meet a God of love in the Word, where the Spirit is at work, where God is here with us. Where do you go to look for God? Where do you find Him? Right here. He was with us at our 8 o'clock service out there in the parking lot, coming through radio speakers, here with our little gathering here this morning, in little churches all around our country and around the world, in homes where people pray together and dwell together in Christian faith, where Bibles are opened and people read God's word. That's where God is found. In Babel, they built a tower to try to bring themselves up to God, but the irony is, God came down to us in Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is the dwelling place of God. This is where the Spirit is at work. I said a couple weeks ago about how we don't talk as Lutherans a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, because we talk about Jesus. That's kind of the point. That's the Spirit's job, to point us to Jesus. As Jesus himself said, he will bring to remembrance the things that I have said to you. God is here. God is with you, and your God is a God of love, because Jesus Christ, the one who the Spirit works to point us toward, he has lived and died, ascended to heaven, reigning from the right hand of God, and coming again, all for you. And in the meantime, God is here in our midst. Because God's in the Word. There is, frankly, no way we could have survived as a church the last 2 months if God were not in His Word. But it was that same God and that same Word that sustained this church for going on now 96 years, that will sustain us into the future, that has always sustained God's people. Because in that Word, God is present, the Spirit is at work, and Jesus forgives and saves. And we find the Father's love that is perfect. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.